from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This song puts me in a good mood, as do the Pirates. I mean, this is fun stuff. Normally, Paul, during the summers at this time, oh, for practically the past decade it's been, the Pirates are on, but they're background music, you know? No offense to some of the guys that have been rolling through here for the past several years, but some of them weren't really baseball. One guy was a football player, in fact. What was his name? Jay Alford out in the outfield? Was that his name? The football player?
You're talking about Hayden Hurst, the tight end that they drafted?
I don't know.
Remember him? He played for the Ravens.
Beside the point, it's now appointment viewing. Like, we build dinners around around the Pirates. The games start at 6:40. I can't wait. I've readjusted my schedule here. Now I got to get my kids somewhere. I've got to do a couple things getting ready for a trip. That's all on the back burner, big boy. Because the Pirates are on the front burner. It's Paul Skeens right. Day. I love this. I'm in a good mood.
Absolutely. Because, you know, the thing about it is, as I said before, tomorrow, almost every year I can remember, would mark the end of the Pirates being on the front burner. And many years even being still on the stove.
As soon as the Steelers walk through that
camp
door.
Starts, it's, you know, all football all the time.
That ain't happening now. It's all, in fact, it's all Pirates all the time.
I'm
right
going
now.
Tonight.
Are you?
I'm going to the game tonight.
You're
Buddy and I are going.
Your fake mustache on?
Possibly.
Is Michael McHenry on with us?
He is.
Is he on our screen, on our monitor?
He is.
There he is, Paul.
Hello.
Beautiful shot there. It's the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, the great Michael McHenry. What a breakdown last night, Michael. I can't say enough about it. No matter who you're with, I think it was Kevin Young last night. It was brilliant. I learned something from both of you guys last night about, you talked about waiting on the throw as a catcher, not reaching out for it, waiting for it. And man, he rifled that guy out. And then Kevin Young talked about the tag. You also don't want to reach out there. Let the ball travel to you and then go down and drop the tag. That was great stuff.
I appreciate it. Yeah, Bart's really grown this year. I mean, you looked at the beginning of the year, he was 0-8. I thought he had a really good series throughout three guys, and he's been nails ever since. Letting that ball come to him is such an incredible thing because he's seen the game happen right out in front of him. A lot of times, guys want to force it. He let it come to him, slowed down. The time wasn't as good as it possibly could be. But the fact is, he was able to just lay it right in the bag. And like you said, Gonzalez put himself in a great position to make a great tag, great stuff.
Man, Joey Bart's become a story, Michael. And I wanted to play you a clip just a couple minutes ago with Derek Shelton. And then I'll ask you a question right after this clip. Here we go. This is Shelton on Joey Bart, and the question's very specific here. I don't want to know if Joey Bart can stick around. I know he can. I want to know if he's staking a claim to be the guy. Here we go. One thing is Joey Bart. and how he has emerged here. I think Ben Cherington said the other day that he could be here for a long time. Is he making that case? Not only for that, I mean, is he making the case that he could be the guy here for a while?
I think he is making a case for that. And, you know, I think one of the things that we have to realize is, you know, Joey was a very highly touted prospect in San Francisco. And sometimes it takes time. We knew he had a really good spring. He's someone we watched through the spring, and then we knew the catching situation with the Giants was going to be they may have an odd man out. But it's one of those things where sometimes it takes a little bit of time. It just doesn't go on the timeline of everybody thinks because you're a prospect, you're going to do it. He's really done a nice job. Offensively, he's been solid. Defensively, he continues to work. I think as we saw the throw last night, he's thrown the ball really well. But to your point, he's making a case to be here.
Not just to be here, to be the guy, Michael. And here's how I'm going to phrase the question to you. I asked this exact question to Andrew Destin, a.k.a. Destiny's Child from the Post-Gazette earlier today. And he's become a big part of the show here. You're running a baseball team, Michael. You've just inherited a team. You're the owner and you're the GM. And I'm going to give you a choice of three catchers to move forward with in the future. Joey Bart, Endy Rodriguez, or Henry Davis? How would you put them in order, and who are you going with first?
I'm going with all three, to be honest, because I think these guys have the capability to move around. Maybe Joey Bart hasn't been able to show that quite as much as the other two, but remember, Endy Rodriguez in 22 was maybe the best prospect in all of baseball when it comes to offense. He played second base, he played right field, he played left field, he played first base, and he was better than average at a couple of those positions, and he was adequate everywhere else. So now you have that Swiss Army knife in him and a switch-hitting bat with power. That's absolutely phenomenal to have. It really balances out and extends your lineup. And then if Henry Davis and Bart kind of come together, you're kind of looking at an Atlanta situation, right? Two guys that can catch and throw, they can block, they can manage a staff, and they hit for power. So I like all three of them. I think it's going to be really cool to see how they kind of play it all out. Obviously, I think Bart's got the lead right now. Henry Davis is kind of looking in, and Indy's got to get healthy. So it's going to be fun having that dynamic position. And worst-case scenario, which is still a bonus for the Pirates, is you have an asset to trade if all three of these guys hit.
Well, I think the thing about it, then, you have three guys in, you know, to go forward with down the road. But is there any thought in your mind that one of them could maybe play first base or something else?
I do. I definitely could see all three of them being able to. I've mentioned that with Bart a couple different times. He'd be a great platoon type first baseman where you could throw him over there, you know, early in the game and maybe flip the switch, but you'd have to carry three because you wouldn't want to burn your catcher after that sixth inning. But yeah, with his power and his barrel control that he's been able to show, he's putting together good at-bats. I'd love to see him in the lineup as a power option as a righty more often.
Well, happy Paul Skenes Day, Michael. I mean, I don't know. Am I crazy? I go into every one of his starts wondering if we're going to see a no-hitter. The last time against the Cardinals, I think he went to a lot of breaking balls, if I'm remembering correctly. What do you think the game plan will be tonight?
The coolest thing about Skenes and Keller is you don't know. They have the ability to adapt on the fly, and I constantly just keep thinking that Paul Skenes is 22 years old. It's remarkable. His ability to understand himself and self-awareness is remarkable. So he's going to go out today. He's going to pitch his best game from the get-go in his mind, and then it'll adapt depending on the situation, the scoreboard, and the feel of his stuff. So it's going to be exciting to see. I do think the breaking ball will play. We saw last night, Keller only had three whiffs. They're all on breaking balls just outside the zone. They did not chase that breaking ball yesterday, so he had to go to the fastball. He did well. I think we're going to see the same thing from Skenes.
When you think about Paul Skenes, obviously at some point he's going to have a performance where he loses a game or he doesn't pitch well. I mean, he's a machine, but he ain't even the best guys have a day off. How surprising would that be when he finally does have that day where someone gets the best of him, knowing how good he is?
Yeah, I don't know what that day's going to look like. There's been quite a few days where he hasn't pitched well and he's still come out where he's given up one run. I mean, there's been I guess, three games I can think of right off the top of my head where he didn't have his fastball command, and he was able to wrinkle in breaking balls long enough to get to that fourth or fifth inning to actually find that fastball command at the very end of the ballgame. So, yeah, this guy's a different breed. I'm not going to put any limitations on him, let alone expectations, because I think he's pulling the expectations himself. I don't think anybody expected how good he would be. Even if you said that, I don't think you could actually truthfully go home and look yourself in the mirror and say, yeah, I knew he was going to be this good. We knew he was going to be great. The guy's been better than great.
Let's move on to a different topic. I'm looking at June 7th, 2012. Pirates end Chapman streak, beat Reds 5-4 in 10 innings. Do you know who got the RBI double in the 10th off Chapman to win that game?
Who was it?
Guy named Michael McHenry, as I remember, as I'm reading this story. Here's my question on him. This guy looks like he did in 2012. He was throwing 103 the other day. Do you see any drop-off from prime Chapman to what you're seeing now?
If I'm honest, the last two outings may be the best Chapman I've ever seen. And why I say that is because his feel of his split and his slider have just been remarkable. I mean, see what he did last night, first two hitters. He didn't really have to use his fastball. His fastball was the accessory pitch, which is crazy. But then he has a lefty come up. And he throws a sinker in, which I've not seen him do against the lefty. The guys have been leaning out. He's given up more hard contact against lefties this year than he has the last couple years. If he can run that sinker in and have feel for that off-speed stuff, this guy's a different animal, because now it becomes a weapon with more than maybe one just missile of an arm. He's got feel, and that's a different animal.
What pitch did you hit that night for that double? He had been perfect up till that point in the season, and you ruined his perfect streak. What was it?
The heat-seeking missile is what it was. Yeah.
Do you just
101 fastball.
Do you just guess on that, like a soccer goalie in a shoot in penalty kicks, where you just say, "I'm guessing fastball, and here I go."
Yeah, he's a guy you can't leave the fastball with. I mean, if he hangs a breaking ball at 88 and it's up, because you're ready for that fastball, you have a chance to hit it. The problem is when he's down with those pitches, it's almost impossible to hit because you can't cover 100 middle of the zone and up and try to cover down at the bottom with two off-speed pitches that have really good movement. So that's what's the difference of him now to me when I faced him in 12. He didn't have a split finger, and his slider really was a gift if he threw it to a righty if it wasn't down the zone.
That's always very interesting to hear somebody that is now talking about, you know, that has actually had experience hitting against a guy like Aroldis Chapman. That to me, I mean, there's a lot of things that make you really good at your job, but that to me is what makes you, you know, even better than a lot, is that you played recently enough that you've played against some of these guys and you've gotten to see some of these guys, and you kind of played in what I would call the modern age of baseball, where they started to change to all the launch angle stuff and all the analytics and all that stuff. So you have a pretty good grasp of the game, the way that it's played. And you watch, for instance, what the Pirates are doing offensively, and I got to ask you, I know that it's a new era of baseball, but why a team like the Pirates, who struggle so much to score, and there's a number of other teams out there the same way, why are they so reluctant and hesitant to try and play small ball and manufacture runs the old-fashioned way?
Yeah, that's the give and take with analytics. I mean, when you look at it, bopping and walking is the thing that people want to do. So they want to slug and have a high OPS. And the reality of it is you got to play with what the game gives you. I know I've said that a couple times on air today with you guys. But sometimes you have to be aware, I don't feel good in the box. The guy behind me is absolutely raking. So maybe it is over instead of striking out. Maybe it is better to give yourself up, get that out, move that guy over. You just have to play the game. I think there's a good balance. I was just at a USA event, and we talked about both sides. We talked about dirt ball reads. We talked about moving the runner over, all these different things. So you don't have to sacrifice your batting average. Bunt them over. There's a lot of different things you can do, but you have to be self-aware. You have to understand, what's the umpire? Like last night, the umpire was inconsistent. If you know that's the case, that's the game you're playing today. That's why you play 162. That's why it's so awesome. And you're right. I was very fortunate to see both sides. I get to see no analytics, I get to see some, and I get to see it all come out all at once when I was kind of on the tail end of my career. And there's good to it. There's bad to it. You just have to use it properly. And I think the Pirates in the second half thus far have done an incredible job with that balance.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Up next, Pat Narduzzi had an eye-opening quote about Penn State. We're going to get to that before the top of the hour and the PM guys coming in. And the hotline that Michael McHenry's on right now, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Derek Shelton told us today, Michael, that Ke Bryan Hayes, he sort of said, yeah, he's healthy, but it's also lingering, that they have to manage this injury with things that he does every day, and he's not even in the lineup today. As a connoisseur of hitting, where has Hayes' power gone? I mean, my God, his slugging percentage last year and the number of extra base hits he had last year have dissipated to almost nothing. What has happened?
So I'm going to use an example from yesterday. I was playing in a charity golf tournament for the alumni, and one of the guys that was on my team had a bad back yesterday, but he hit everything in the middle of the fairway. Everything was struck perfectly. He wasn't trying to do too much. And that's a great example for everybody that's listening right now. If you've ever had an issue with anything, if you just use it to your advantage the best possible you can, sometimes that's the way it plays out. I think we're all looking at Hayes, what he was last year, but he's not the same guy. He can't rotate as well. You can see the barrel path is off. It's not in plane as long as it should be. And that's going to make it really tough for a guy that can be inside out specifically to stay in the zone long enough to really create power, especially in the gap. So what we saw in spring training is who he is. But right now with his health issues, I think he's just got to play with what he has, which is tough.
Did you ever have back issues?
I didn't. I had quite a few knee surgeries. I mean, everyone that ever played the game of baseball beats, because it's a front-forward game, you always got to work that backside. So, yeah, you'd have back spasms because you're constantly rotating against one side. The way you throw, the way you hit is usually that strong side. So you're rotating one way, so you'll eventually get your hips out of line. So that's a problem he faces. But the other problem is, you know, he actually has chronic back issues, and he's got to find a way to balance that.
Meanwhile, the other end of the spectrum is O'Neill Cruz. That homer he hit the other night was like a golf ball. I mean, it was just a bomb to center field. What is happening with him? Especially, it seems there's a little bit of traction against lefties. He was borderline unplayable against lefties before, and now he's hammered a couple.
You know, he made a great adjustment early July. He spread out his feet a little bit. He shortened up everything. In spring training, he started using a smaller bat. And I think the attempt was, I'm going to be able to control my barrel. I've got all these limbs kind of going everywhere. It's not easy to put 6-7 in motion. And once it's in motion, that first 3 inches that he makes swingy-wise are going to tell a whole story for him. So the fact that he has continued to make little minor micro adjustments is showing his growth. And I think this guy's maturing right in front of our eyes, the way he's still on bases. Everything he's doing, I think, is a product of just time. And when you have a unicorn on your hands, you can't teach a unicorn how to fly. It's going to teach itself. You know, they throw it off the edge and say, hey, go fly, and you got to figure it out. And that's what this guy's doing. He's flying a little bit. He falls. He picks himself back up. He jumps off the ledge again. And as he keeps jumping, he's going to get a little bit more and more until he starts soaring.
You know, to use a sort of an analogy with, you know, I coach basketball, and I coach AAU basketball. And at the end of the year, you know, some parents and whatnot, we talk about, well, we really need to get this team better next year. But what they're really saying is, we need to get this team better as long as it's not at my daughter's position. So, bring that forward to the Pirates in their situation right now. You've been in that clubhouse. You've been in clubhouse a week to go before trade deadline. How do players balance the idea of, we need to get better, but we need to make sure that we don't get better at my position. Is there like a nervousness? Or is, I mean, obviously, if you're O'Neal Cruz, you're probably not nervous. But if you're one of the outfielders or you're one of the positions that maybe, I mean, do those discussions go on? Is there a little bit of uncertainty, a little bit of nervousness, nervous energy, I should say, in the clubhouse, in this next week?
Absolutely. And you asked as it talked about. If it's not, it should be. Because if you don't get those anxieties out of you, sometimes they carry over into the field. And, from a guy who's been traded multiple times, sometimes it's great, sometimes it's not. But a lot of times, with the team we have and the type of dudes we have, you could get traded and it's a huge benefit to you because it's just changing uniform. You show what you can do, you're not having the year you want, and you get traded, you go somewhere else. They see a value in you. So all of a sudden you were somebody that maybe wasn't getting an opportunity in the place you were in, but it is your original home. And then you go somewhere and you get a great opportunity. That's my story with the Pirates, right? I came over, I was stuck in AAA behind the guys in Boston. I was playing, came here, I got an opportunity. So there's a chance a lot of guys are getting opportunities. They just have to use whatever comes their way to their advantage. There could be a positive played out in it. But yeah, I'm excited to see what they do. I think it's win now. Is the thought, you're hearing the guys speak and it's indicative of what's being said in the clubhouse. Here doing a Gonzo story yesterday, he's saying, yeah, we want to win. We want to win now. It's every given day. Keller's saying the same thing. They want to win today. And that's a good sign that this team is thinking about. We want to get deep in this postseason. We want to win that last game. That's always the goal. If you win the last game, you're holding up a trophy and you're the best on the planet. So I think these guys are really thinking, hey, we're not good. Maybe not as good as we want to be, but we can get better and better, and they have all year long.
Michael, great stuff as always. We'll be watching tonight, Paul Skeens' night at the Ball Yard, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you, guys. God bless.
All right.
Man, is he good, huh, Paul?
Yeah, he is.
How about the unicorn analogy there?
Yeah.
Where you don't really teach the unicorn anything. He just does it on his own because he's a unicorn.
Right.
That made a lot of sense to me.
Well, I think one of the things that is cool about him is he did play sort of in the era when it was just starting to transition to the analytics stuff. So he got enough of a dose of that he can explain.
Yeah.
Listen, to guys like you and I who are kind of like, listen, here's my thing. If you've got guys that are batting 180 and have no power, and why are you not bunting, having them try and slap one down?
Not
the
with
line?
Two strikes, what, but I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like doing whatever it takes to move guys over to make sure that you're getting somewhat semi-productive outs.
Yes.
From these guys, it drives me nuts when I watch games, and it's not just the Pirates. It seems like every team at the bottom of their lineup have multiple guys who cannot hit, and yet. Two guys on, they let him swing away.
It's unreal. I even thought Cruz himself should have bunted. Does he know how to bunt? I don't know. Yesterday, he struck out in that situation. But, man, he's not striking out a lot. He's been unbelievable. Fun to watch. This month, he's hitting .321 with a .585 slug and a .947 OPS. This is the type of guy who, if he takes off from here on out, he just puts a team on his back.
Yeah.
That's how good he can be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, where were we? Oh, how about this, Paul? City Limits has put on his journalist hat here. He has breaking news, according to anonymous sources, at least one. What do you got there, Limitless Wonder?
I'm hearing that Jared Jones is starting to ramp up his rehab and is expected to throw a bullpen this weekend.
How about that noise?
There you go. That's what we call news.
That's big, City Limits. So when can we expect him back then? Are you going to pull an Andrew Destin?
It might potentially take a while. I thought that Zeiss was going to pull this on me when I said that.
Source with the question marks. Immediate block. Right?
Source.
How about August 14th? Does that sound about right for him?
I wouldn't call it great.
I will say August 14th.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. What's Cooking, brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. All right, let's get to Narduzzi. I like it when he talks because it's always news. He's at Media Day. What did he say?
Pittsburgh, we embrace rivalries, okay? We'd love to play Penn State if they would play us. If they won't play us, we'd love to play West Virginia as many times as we can play them. You know, 2 years ago, we got them at home. They got us last year. They're coming back. Our kids couldn't be more excited. They got an idea, really, after 2 years, what a real rivalry game is. I think you need to lose a rivalry game to understand what it means to you. I think you have to lose one to know, okay, I don't ever want to lose a rivalry game again. And I think that's kind of what we go into this game with.
So the beginning of that was interesting. Do you think that Pitt is still making overtures there, Paul? Would you like to see Penn State and Pitt play? Do you think it'll ever happen again in our lifetimes?
No.
No?
No. I don't. Well, put it this way. I think it would take a different coach at Penn State. And I don't know that Franklin's going anywhere anytime soon. So I think as long as James Franklin is the coach at Penn State, that I don't think they will play Pitt. I mean, how old is Franklin? He's not that old, is he? He's like 50, maybe.
That's right. It's another Paul pause. Paul will now silently research statistics 52. During our live radio show.
Yes. He's fit. That was pretty funny. He's 52 years old.
We've been waiting the whole show for that.
All right. Well, there you go. Yeah, I gave it to you.
The timing was impeccable there.
52
absolutely
years old.
Impeccable. Paul, do you like our new drop? We worked hard on this when you were gone. Play it for him again just so we can hear the whole thing.
That's right. It's another Paul pause. Paul will now silently research statistics during our live radio show.
That's funny. I like that.
That's so good.
I love that. What did you say now? How old's Franklin? Paul?
I was saying that basically, say Franklin stays there the next 8 to 10 years. new guy comes in, even if he wants to set something up, it probably wouldn't be for like 5 or 6 years, you know, from the time he gets there because of the way scheduling goes.
Can't they?
I just don't see it.
I mean, Penn State has West Virginia, Bowling Green, and Kent State. Then in 25, they have Nevada, Villanova, and I can't read this, I think FIU, and then Marshall, Temple, and Buffalo. No offense to your Temple Owls, but do they have to play Temple? Do they have to play Buffalo? And then they play Syracuse twice. Can't that just be Pitt? Why can't they play Pitt? Here's the thing I always say.
I would like to see them play. I shouldn't say never in my lifetime.
No,
in the next 15 to 20 years.
Do you want to see it, and should it happen?
It should happen every year, but college football's stupid. It's stupid. I mean, we're talking about Pitt and West Virginia are not in the same league, but Pitt and Cal and Stanford are in the same league.
I know.
Pitt and West Virginia are not in the same league, but West Virginia's in the same league as Arizona and Arizona State. Arizona and Arizona State are not in the same league as USC and UCLA, but they're in the same league as, you know, pick any other team across, you know, Cincinnati.
The whole thing's stupid. But the bottom line is, if Penn State wanted it to happen, it would happen. And I always say, from the Penn State side, I think people don't realize how many Penn State alums, especially, obviously, in Western Pennsylvania, of which there are thousands upon thousands, want this to happen. They love this game.
As someone that is receiving their master's from Penn State, I want this thing to happen more than any other game that can happen on the Penn State schedule and the Pitt schedule.
It's fun. I've said this. My stepson went to Penn State, loved it, and they loved the renewal of the Pitt rivalry. It's a big deal and a lot of fun for them, too. It's more fun to play Pitt for people at Penn State, like the students and the alumni, than it is to play Nevada, FIU, Villanova, Marshall, Buffalo, Temple, Syracuse, or Delaware.
It's good for both sides.
It is, Paul. It just is. It's a great, fun game for the state.
They should play.
I think the politicians in this state should make them play. God knows they do stupider things every year, spend their time on. How about focusing on this for 2 seconds? If you want any more money from the state, then play.
Especially because we've gotten to the point where college football is being run more and more like the NFL by the day. And games like this, I mean, make it a designated rivalry, like what Major League Baseball does with the Pirates and the Tigers, whatever, as the American League rival. Do the same thing out of different conferences with the ACC and the Big Ten in terms of a football game once a year. Even if you add one more game a year and play 13.
Do you feel like the Penn State mentality, Paul, is we have nothing to gain by this and everything to lose?
Yeah, it's that arrogance. You know, that again, we talked about last week, that should not exist, but does. But that's their view of, you know, the whole. And you know what? Here's the thing. Here's why I don't cry a river for Pitt. Because Pitt basketball does the same thing to Duquesne.
Pitt football has done previously the same thing to West Virginia.
Right.
Now they're starting to play again.
Because, and you know why?
Because no Penn State.
Because they didn't have Penn State on their schedule. I remember when, I think it was Peterson said, "Oh well, you know, we want to play. We don't need to play West Virginia. Our rivals are Penn State and Notre Dame." Well, Notre Dame is now part of a scheduling alliance with the ACC, so you know Pitt only gets to play them every so often. And the flip side of that is Penn State won't play Pitt, so they had to play West Virginia. But look, Pitt does the same thing to Duquesne in basketball.
Yes, they do,
and it's ridiculous. Like,
it's ridiculous.
There's not
and it's a disservice to fans
exactly.
From all parties.
So that's why I don't cry a river for Pitt fans when they don't get their way and don't get to play against Penn State. You know what? You do the same thing to Duquesne. Everybody is okay with it when their school does it, but they're not okay with it when other schools do it.
Right.
And now the way that college football is so screwed up, that's the other part of it. I mean, aren't the Big Ten and aren't they eventually going to have to go to the whole 9 conference game model?
Yeah, I was wondering about that. How many conference games are they going to have to play?
So if they play 9, there's just not really, at that. If they go to 9, then there's zero chance that Pitt will be back on the schedule. The one thing that Franklin had floated a few years ago, which I think is absolutely absurd, okay, is he said, well, maybe we could play him like at a neutral site game in like D.C. or in you know, what are you talking about? You're really going to take Pitt, Penn State off of either of their campuses? Are you that arrogant that you think, you know what I'm saying, that, oh, well, yeah, we're going to play a game in Miami because, you know, we want to recruit down there, so we're going to bring Penn State down there, and we need an opponent, so if Pitt wants us. Why would Pitt agree to that? It's like, no. If we're going to play you, we're going to play you either at your place or at our place.
Well, let's spark this up tomorrow. We have to run. Paul, this was a good reunion. We have a lot planned tomorrow.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.